Today I want us to take all these teachings and bring it under one title, which is stewardship. And in stewardship, it's your mammon test. Subtitle is just basic spiritual understanding. We know that in life we are going to receive testings, and you can start. In my case here, I wasn't feeling well a couple years ago, and so I began to start going through the tests to find out what was wrong with me. And the only way I could find out what was wrong with me was I had to take tests. And some of you, and some of aren't here today, that are going to school and college and stuff, you take a class, and the way to measure what you have retained and are expected to apply in your future, you take a test. And that test measures what you have learned. We also know that in some jobs, it's required to take a test as part of your application to see if you qualify for said job that you're applying for. And in some jobs, like when I was working, in order for me to change jobs, I had to pass a qualifying test to see if I would even be considered for that job, of which, praise God, I passed, and the rest is history. Today we're going to see three things that's going to measure our stewardship of the things of God and what He has put into our hands to see if we have been faithful in kingdom expansion. Turn with me to Luke 16. We know the story, but we're going to dissect the story so that you can glean from God's great wisdom and make application into your life. Remember, the basic formula is you get information, you make application, and then there is transformation. I mean, God is real simple. If He can do that to make me understand, and you guys are all a lot smarter than I am, this should come relatively easy. Luke 16, starting in verse 1, says, Jesus said to His disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So He called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what I will do, that when I am put out of this stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him, and he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home.'" What we have here is a story of a steward who was ripping off his boss. Really, that's what it is. But I want us to go to something even more basic than that. Who could tell me what a steward is? You're absolutely right, Dan. That person is responsible for the care of someone else's possessions. A steward also has the freedom to utilize those possessions to his discretion, but the bottom line is he is responsible to increase his owner's possession. Okay? That's what a steward does. He doesn't own anything, but he has access to everything. The owner heard a bad report. He said to the steward, you offend yourself unfaithful. I've heard this bad report. You're out of a job. And so what happened was, not only did this steward who was unfaithful in the dealings with his master's possessions, he continued to rip off his master by making deals with the master's debtors in such a way that he became friends with them. He said, the one, you know, cut this price and, you know, say this and all. Now, when the master approached him, he commended him for not doing something good. He commended him for doing something shrewd. Right? He shrewdly acted. And then the Lord continued on and said, you know, for those of us, we need to do the same thing. We need to act shrewdly so that when we fail, we have friends that we can go and they can take care of us, put us into employment or something. What we need to understand here is this physical parable is talking about who? It's talking about us. We are stewards of everything that God has given to us. He owns it all. We don't own anything. He gives us the right to use it, but he expects increase. What is he expecting increase in? He also says that this guy acted shrewdly with his master's possessions. But we have to understand that this guy was using unrighteous mammon. Unrighteous mammon is wealth, riches, material. And he proved himself unfaithful with all those things that was given into his charge. What I want to do is get you to begin to start thinking about your faithfulness in what God has laid into your hands, and how have you increased those things so the master can bless you. We shouldn't just use our resources that God gives to us, because he gives us everything. And the tithe is just an example, because the tithe is a tool. It belongs to God. It's his. And we focus so much energy on that 10% that we become irresponsible with the 90%. Do you know where your money's going? That 90%. This guy didn't know where it was going. He was just using it. Because after all, he forgot who owned it. But when the report went back to his master, the master brought him into an account. And the thing I want to emphasize is, one day we are going to give an accounting of how we used his resources to expand his kingdom. Or was it expansion of my kingdom? Principle number one. Your stewardship will reveal your current level of faithfulness. Your stewardship will reveal your level of faithfulness. If you're presently earning an income of around $50,000, you earn, or you are part of a 0.02% of the wealthiest people in the world. $50,000. Some make more, some make less. But that is 0.02%. That is 98.8% of the people who are not wealthy. If you make just minimum wage in this country, you are part of 11% of the wealthiest people in the world at minimum wage. Well, what's minimum wage? 10 bucks an hour, something like that? Yeah. So 89% of the people in the world don't make as much as you do. And the Lord is saying to us, if we don't use the wealth that He's given to us, which is unrighteous mammon, for the extension of His kingdom, what are we using it for? The question is that we fail or forget that it's all His. And in forgetting that it's all His, we forget because we bit into the lie of the enemy that we need to live off 100%. Because after all, God loves me and God wants me to be prosperous and God wants me to have all this material wealth and stuff. After all, you know, He wants me in a nice suit. He wants me in this and that, right? And He does. But He gives you what you have to test you to see if you'll be faithful in little things. Remember I said that He gives us the wealth, and in that wealth He tests our heart. Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And I think sometimes what happens is we don't want God to tell us what to do. The problem in that is when we receive Him as Savior and Lord, He has the right to do just that because He owns it. He owns the building. He owns our homes. He owns our kids. He owns my spouse. He owns my body that I live in. He owns everything. I get to use it because I'm not going to take it with me when I expire. So am I using the resources that God has given to me shrewdly to expand His kingdom, is the question. And like I said, your stewardship reveals your faithfulness. Here's an example. There is probably about 90% of the prison population in America today that is illiterate. And when we go into the prisons, we go in with Bibles and we say, man, God loves you, and we give them a Bible. Do we see the problem with that? What's the problem, Miss Kim? Absolutely. There's one of my geniuses. Absolutely. They can't read it. So how will we become shrewd in using the resource that God has given to us to further His kingdom? Teach them to read. Absolutely. It's that simple. Teach them to read and have them read the Bible. That's being shrewd, right? You may not think so, but it is. By not using our brains to capitalize on the opportunities to act shrewdly in a kingdom expansion, all we do is put the wealth that God has given to us in idle. It's not accomplishing anything. What God has put into your hands is meant to accomplish something. Even he said his word. He sent his word forth, and it will not return void. It will accomplish that which he has purposed. Somebody's paying attention. We need to use the opportunities wisely by making friends for God and by winning them to God. That's our first thing that we need to do. I was part of a fellowship years ago that our family was involved in the church. 7 days a week we were there. And of course, we heard all this stuff. You got to go out. You got to do this and do that. And one night I was driving home and I said to Irene, I said, how are we going to do that? We're all here. We're spending our time at church. How are we going to do this? Something has to give. I wanted to be effective for God. I wanted to do the things of God. And so what had happened was I started cutting out churchianity, so I could start becoming effective. And that met with tremendous resistance with the pastor. Oh well. I was seeing the opportunity and I wanted to utilize the resources that were given to me so I could expand God's kingdom or God's influence in people's lives. Two, we must be faithful in the way we use the wealth of God has given to us. People who are unfaithful in the use of the wealth given are unfaithful in the true riches. What are the true riches? True riches is people's lives. If all I'm doing is getting rich materially and not affecting people's lives, I prove myself unfaithful in God's eyes. Why? Because it's not touching anybody else's life. It's only me. It's me holding up, God, give me more, but I'm holding on to what he's given to me. Remember I said, in order to be blessed, we need to release what God has given to us in order to set ourselves under an open heaven so that God can pour more out to us. And then continue. We become a conduit of that which God wants for us. The true riches is people's lives. We must be wholly devoted to God by being single-minded. And in being single-minded, Jesus is demanding integrity of us. How faithful have you been with the resources that God has given to you? Because your stewardship reveals that to me, to God. If I see it, God sees it. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. No. I understand succinctly. It's very clear to me. You can't bend God's word. You can't bend your life to make it look right, make it sound right, to make it sound spiritual and look spiritual. You can't. You either are or not. If we're devoted to God, money becomes our tool and servant. If we're devoted to money, we become money's slave. Okay? We need to look at where we are, repent, and begin to start looking at opportunities in which we can invest our lives into other people who are in need of Jesus Christ, or those who are in Jesus Christ who need to be encouraged. It doesn't take a whole lot. It just takes us changing the mindset that we're at to begin this. Principle number two. Your stewardship will indicate the amount of true riches that will be entrusted to you in the future. Continuing on in Luke 16, verse 10, he says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, Who will commit to you the trust of true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? He's referring to, if you haven't been faithful to what God has given into you, your charge, what makes you think you're going to get more? What makes you think that you're going to get blessed? What makes you think that you've been faithful? Because after all, God blesses me. And we've all heard the terminology, the one who has the most toys wins. I would say the one who is effective in most people's lives wins favor of God. Grace. You see, it's not about me. It's about me being faithful to show God that I'm faithful. In the wealth that He's given to me, do I have an attitude of selfishness and self-centeredness, or do I have an attitude that gives? Am I giving? Am I loving? Do I want to affect people's lives? Am I involved in people's lives? Matthew 6:19-21, Lord says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in to steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart. The principle is faithful in little, faithful in much. If you're unfaithful in your stewardship of what God has already laid in your hands, He already knows that you're going to be unfaithful in the true riches. For us that are spiritual people, we understand faithfulness in the physical realm, be faithful in the spiritual realm. First the physical, then the spiritual. That's what God is trying to get us to understand. Have we been faithful in what God has given to us? And do we expect God to give us more, to entrust us more, to increase His influence, His kingdom into people's lives? You can determine that, because the challenge is to you. We have to understand that when God says mammon, He's talking about our dollars, our riches. He's talking about so much more than that. Here's a small test for you to understand whether God's got your heart or money's got your heart. Do you think and worry about money all the time? Don't answer it. Just think about it. Do you give up doing what you should do or would like to do in order to make money? I was there. I did that. I didn't want to become disciplined. I wanted to make money so I could do what I wanted to do. God saw fit to change that in my life. Do you spend a great deal of time caring for your stuff? Do you go outside and you wash and wax your brand new car? Or the other extreme, do you trash it? Do you just leave it in a condition that I wouldn't even have my worst enemy go into? Do we treat our homes as our personal dumping sites? Or do we clean that up and wait for the king to enter in? It's all attitude. And it's all stewardship. See, stewardship is more than just our material wealth. Stewardship has to deal with our gifts, our talents, our callings, our interpersonal relationships. How do we steward our children, our wives, ourselves? How do we steward ourselves in our jobs? And so much more. Stewardship isn't just over money. Stewardship is our whole life. We're going to account to God for our whole life because He has given us so much and He expects a return. Wealth is a good test of who's Lord of your life. Principle number three. Stewardship will reveal what God is in control of your life. Small g. Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. I love God. I love God, Pastor. Well, let me see your checkbook. And I'll see where the money goes. Because there's always a money trail. Well, that's a little personal. That's between me and God. Henry Fielding was an English novelist who said, "Make money your God and it will plague you like the devil." You like that, don't you? 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many arrows." What is prevalent in the body of Christ today are two messages. You have the health, wealth, and prosperity message that is being regurgitated, because when I was a young Christian, that was being put through. It is now being regurgitated at this time. The other message is poverty is good. And it comes out like, well, I don't have much, Pastor, so what I have, you know, I'm going to keep it. It's mine. God loves me, and when I get into heaven, I'm going to receive everything that He wants to give to me. Remember I said that in heaven, each one of us has a storehouse? And in that storehouse is everything that God wants to give to us. Now. But in order to receive that, we need to position ourselves under an open heaven and do the things that He's told us to do in order to begin to bring those things from heaven onto earth. I've also said that we are now seated in heavenly places according to Ephesians 2:6, which means our perspective is seeing it from what God says to what He wants to do. What we do is we misappropriate the teaching that says whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Read again what Jesus is talking about here. We're not talking about spiritual warfare, although money is part of spiritual warfare. God is able, let me tell you, God is able to bring a ton of wealth to you, and you don't have to go down to casinos. Come on, God, blow on that bad boy, and get rich so that you can do all that stuff. Remember I said that, you know, some people will say, when I get this money, I'm going to tithe it to you. If God gave you $1 million, and you're going to give God $100,000 off the top? Are you? No, you're not. If you haven't proven yourself faithful in little things, what makes you think you're going to be faithful? That's the mindset that when I make more money, I will tithe to God. No, you tithe to God now, and that when you do make more money, it will already be in practice. You can't serve God and mammon. That's a 50-50 proposition. Jesus said, you will either serve God or mammon. That's 100% proposition to either case. You're either sold out for the kingdom of God or you're not. And the reason why you're not is because when you say, I can't tithe, I can't do this, I can't do that, you're saying, God, I don't trust you. I don't believe you're going to meet my needs. I don't believe you're going to continue to give me more. I don't believe whatever. I don't believe you want to use me and my gifts and talents to help do X, Y, and Z. I don't believe that. Well, did anybody with unbelief ever receive anything from God? No. That's why you have to be single-minded. James says a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all ways. We have to be single-minded. We have to be devoted. We have to set ourselves in a venue in which God will use us to make something happen. I like the story that when God told us this was going to be our building, and we were sitting at the meetings, we're sitting with the lawyer, we're at the settlement table, and the lawyer says to me, Pastor, you do everything wrong, and yet we're sitting at this table. And I looked at him and I said, Bob, but God. But God. It was God's thought. He just wanted me to walk through this stuff. God made it happen. And we're here because of God. And now the vision is starting to unfold. The vision is requiring stuff. The vision requires us to get ourselves in order. Because we are in a fight for their lives. Your life is secure in Jesus Christ, but theirs is not. And God gives you wealth to finance His war. Yeah, you're supposed to use some of it to live on and stuff. But why is He giving it to you? It's His plan. He has a plan that includes you and me. It includes everything that He gives to us. He tests our heart to see if we're going to do the things that He's called us to do. How many have heard that money speaks? Ever heard that phrase? Money speaks? Money talks. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Ladies, you know this one. You're walking in the mall, and all of a sudden, you're standing there, and I don't know what the ladies... Give me a ladies' store. Okay, Bath and Body Works. Okay. And you say you need, you sit there and you see this perfume and cream, and you say, man, that's speaking to me. That's speaking to me. I gotta buy it. Do you? Well, it's speaking to me. Okay. What did God say? God's not opposed to us smelling good or having a nice bath and all. But He wants to speak to us. He wants to have first dibs. True stewardship is demonstrating a heart of gratitude through the life of Jesus Christ in all things. Even in our wealth. Look at Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 through 18. It tells you about how God has given us the power to create wealth for the establishing of my kingdom, right? Now, establishing His covenant. His covenant isn't just for us. His covenant is to also include those outside, to bring them in, to be benefactors of His goodness. There are many a believer today that play down financial basics, like budgeting, or I call it a financial plan, investing, savings, because they believe that that's worldly concepts. Well, that originated with God. everything that's in the world has originated with God. What they have done is perverted the purposes of God and made it for them. And I don't want you to get caught up with, you know, the big banking institutions and they're greedy and all this other stuff. Yeah, but you know what? God's going to sort all that out at the end. What are you doing with what God has given to you is what matters. A thief says in his heart, what's yours, I'm going to take it. A selfish person says, what's mine, I'm going to keep it. And what a believer in Jesus Christ says, what's mine is a gift from God, I'll share it. Which one are you? Everything that we've talked about has led to the point of confronting your stewardship over his possessions. And believe me, I'm getting beat up just like you. As I was saying to Rashima this morning, there's things God's doing in me that I'm looking at. How can I increase this, Lord? How can I use this more for your glory? How can I be a benefactor of this blessing flowing through me? I'm that third person. I have a grateful heart for what God has given to me. Which are you? I want to exhort you today to look at your stewardship. If you messed up, that's okay. Repent. Get it under the blood and start the process. It's that simple. To do nothing is to put you in jeopardy with your master. Allow him to work in your heart. Allow him and trust him that he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the one who will provide for us. He is the one that as we prove ourselves faithful in little, he gives us more. And the truer wealth that he wants to give us is people's lives. He wants us to influence them for the good. But if we haven't settled in our heart the unrighteous mammon that is in there will never affect people's lives, will never expand his kingdom. And then one day we're going to stand in front of him. And my heart is one, I ask myself, am I worthy of his kingdom? Not that I have a right to be in his kingdom, but am I worthy of his kingdom? Am I worthy to be called a son in his house? Because I take my stewardship very, very serious. And so should you. So that you and I can stand together and we hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I don't want any of us to miss the benefits of what God has for us in the future ages. But we have to prove ourselves, and we have to really look at God's plan and our stewardship of those resources that he has given to us. Because he has a plan for streams. You're part of that plan. And God wants to bless you richly. But you have to prove yourself faithful. Amen? Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. I pray, God, that your people will be challenged and really be reflective of who you are, God. We are a forgetful people. We forget, God, that you are the owner. Even though your word says that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You own the hills, God. You own the earth and everything thereof in it is yours. You own the heavens, God. You own the cosmos. Help us, O God, to deal with pride. Help us to nail it to the cross, God. Help us in those areas that we have been inferior in, God. Help us to build a life that glorifies you. Help us, God, to speak truth in love. Help us to glorify you, God. God, we need you more today than when we first started. And you have said you will never leave us or forsake us, God, even to the end of this age. And so we bless you, God. Help us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.